Thank you for choosing Flyin' MMA. This episode is one of many podcast episodes from Flyin' MMA that is brought to you by Unique Kennels, the official bulldog of MMA, raising affordable and healthy bulldogs for the last 30 years. Look them up on Twitter at UniqueKennels71 and also on the old Instagram, instagram.com/UniqueKennels. If you haven't had your daily dose of cute, go there to get that in right now. Unique Kennels not only supports this podcast, but they also support local fighters, promotions, and other forms of MMA media.
Hey, fight fans, welcome back to the Flying Squad Recap, Episode 2 with Flying Brian, Doc Robbins, and Fred Kirby. How you fellas doing tonight?
Very, very good. How are you doing, Doc?
Not bad at all, Brian.
Living the dream, my friend.
All right, it is 1:55 a.m. after UFC 190. Ronda Rousey just got done murdering Betch Correa. No surprise there. The event came from us, Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, at the HSBC Arena there. Not a bad card overall, guys, right?
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty good card overall, man. I mean, it wasn't fantastic, but Ronda Rousey's became kind of a mythical creature at this point. So, you know, seeing her have another fucking 30-second finish is pretty dope.
A mythical creature. So you're just going to completely suck Joe Rogan's dick, huh?
That's being gross about it. But come on, she is a big fucking deal, right? I mean, it was all a big deal. She came out and, I mean, I know it's going to be easy. Hindsight's 2020. Everybody's going to go, oh, we'll see. She was of course she was going to do that. But she did fucking knock her completely the fuck out. Made her face plant like asleep. That's impressive.
No. That's true. But Brian, Betch Correa, shitbird.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to talk about that fight a little bit later on. I'm not that crazy impressed as Fred is with that main event. As the card as a whole, I'm going to give the grade out a little bit later. I did not expect too much out of this card, and it lived right up to my standards.
Okay, well, why don't we go ahead and just rush through the preliminary card, the UFC Fight Pass cards. We had Guido Cannetti defeating Hugo Viana in a decision. Brian, I'm going to go to you first. What did you think overall about that fight?
I was honestly a little bit detained during that fight, doing some shit to get ready for the whole fight card. But my friend on the Twitter, GoPaoloMMA, said to put Guido Cannetti on all of your, you know, UFC pick'ems and stuff like that. I was kind of not believing him, but that came through, and that's pretty much all I know about that fight.
All right, Fred, did you get to watch this one?
Nope. I missed this one, too. I was on my way home. But I'll tell you this. Hold on. Let me add something. I did have a nice little parlay going in which I picked Hugo. So I'll say this. I can't stand that little Guido ninja fucker. And he fucked my parlay immediately. By the time I got home, my parlay was ruined because of that little ninja cocksucker. So,
what'd you bet? Like $5?
Well, no, I only bet $1. But you know.
All right. So let's settle. Jeez, that's a lot of CSers and MFers for $1.
It was to win $3,000. It was a big parlay.
All right. Well, I guess I'm the only one who watched the fight. It was competitive. It was a fun fight to watch for the first fight of the UFC Fight Pass preliminaries. It was good. 29-28 across the board. It was a competitive fight. I do like Hugo Viana. I like the whole Wolverine thing that he does coming out. But your friend over there, Brian, is right, I believe. Keep an eye on Guido Cannetti. I do think that he's going to go up and get a little better competition, and I think he's somebody to watch for. So let's just roll right ahead. We had Headbussa, Clint Hester losing by TKO versus by Vitor Miranda. And, well, Fred, we were supposed to have old Headbussa on Stand and Bang. What happened to that?
I don't know.
We decided not to.
it fell through.
Yeah, well, sure, because I didn't contact him again because who cares about old Clint Hester? So, Brian, did you get to see Clint Hester get knocked out by Vitor Miranda?
Yeah, and I was a little surprised by his game plan. In the build-up to this fight, when I was looking at film, I thought that neither of these guys had any at all takedown defense. And I was right. Vitor Miranda showed no takedown defense, but I was surprised that Clint Hester did take him down. I've never been impressed with Clint Hester, to be honest with you. And so I was not surprised that Vitor Miranda finished him in the second round.
Oh, I thought you meant you weren't impressed with his strategy of trying to stop Vitor's elbows and fists from smashing his face in with his face.
That's a great game plan. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't know if you have very strong facial bones and you think that you can actually break the other person's fist. Hey, it worked with, what was it, Mike Brown and Uriah Faber?
Yeah.
You know, pulling worked like a dream. Pulling one out of my ass from the WEC days. All right, anybody, Fred?
You know what, actually, dude? I think Clint Hester's game plan was not that bad. Homeboy was a really good Muay Thai striker, and he came out, he threw a couple big punches and pushed him against the fence. I think where he fucked up is he underestimated either his grappling ability or Vitor's. Because once they got into those exchanges, obviously when Vitor got on top of him, he fucking pounded him out, and Clint Hester off his back sucks very bad. So I think the idea of maybe kind of getting him against the fence and then Clint Hester getting on top of him was the game plan. Shit just didn't pan out right because Clint Hester's grappling is garbage.
Garbage.
Yeah, that's. I think that's a unanimous decision. Clint Hester's wrestling is garbage. So let's throw away the UFC Fight Pass card and move on to the actual preliminaries on Fox Sports 1. We had Alcantara versus Leandro Issa. Unanimous decision for Alcantara, 29-28 across the board. I like Alcantara. I thought that he was going to get the job done against Issa. I was slightly disappointed that he couldn't, but it was a pretty decisive. I wasn't kind of questioning the decision going in. Fred, did you get to see this one, and did you agree with the judges?
Yeah, and I did, absolutely. I like Alcantara too, man. He's got the older brother that's a bit of a shitbird, right, that fights at 85. But Ilri, how you pronounce his name? How you say that?
Uri.
There we go. Yeah. You got it. He's good, man. I like him. His fucking strike. The only thing I would say, his downfall is kind of, it seems like he seems to gas a bit. But he looked great in this fight. His strike, he throws very fucking straight, crisp, hard punches, man. His striking is tight. And yeah, you know. He put on a good performance. I definitely agree with it. I think he won the fight for sure, and he looked good doing it. So,
okay, Brian, a couple of questions. Did you agree with the judges? And who do you think should be next for Alcantara?
I do agree with the judges. There's one thing that I want to talk about with the judges here in a second. Who do I got next for Uri Alcantara? I mean, I'm not really sure. I haven't looked it up yet for him, but I mean, he's on the fringe of the top 15. Honestly, it really doesn't matter. But this fight in the... I do flying with best fight picks with the best MMA analyst in the entire world, Daniel Levy. What he likes to say often is that a black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu turns into a brown belt when you punch him in the face, and then a purple belt. Leandro Issa was a third degree black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and Uri Alcantara punched him in the face a whole bunch of times. And Issa was not able to use any of his Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu skills on Uri Alcantara. Alcantara actually got the better of the grappling exchanges in this matchup. What I want to talk about with the judges is one of the judges must have gave a 10-8 round for Uri Alcantara. Do you guys know which round that could have been?
No. But I do have to say something about Daniel Levy there, in all due respect, but that's not his saying, take a black belt and punch him in the face and he becomes a brown belt. That's an actual, that's a very famous saying. Fred, do you know who coined that phrase at first?
Joe Rogan?
No. It was actually a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu master or one of those. It was a head coach of some place. So, no, I don't see how any of those rounds would have been a 10-8. You know what? With the 10-8 rounds, and I don't know if you guys agree, Fred, you can feel free to disagree because you love to do that with me. I think that you really, really have to beat the hell out of your opponent during a round to have it be a 2-point round.
Yeah, I mean, 10, but then, like, so are 10-7s even possible? Those are unicorns, right?
You would think.
I mean, because, like, if a 10-8 has to be very fucking obvious, like, you almost got to come, like, you know, very close to finishing the fight to get a 10-8, then a 10-7 just basically doesn't exist. So,
Brian, did you see one of those rounds be so decisive that it deserved 2 points?
I did not see one of those rounds. I thought that was kind of ridiculous to see a 29-27 on the scorecards. I mean, Alcantara did hurt Issa a few times, but there was no 10-8 round.
Yeah, you know what, though? Does anybody really get butthurt about that? Do you guys? Like, does it really matter? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I feel what you're saying, but like, even like a split decision. One of my buddies was over tonight watching it, and one of the fights, he was like, if this is a split decision, that's going to be some bullshit. Who gives a fuck? Unanimous, split, one judge saw it this way. Either you win or you lose. If it's a decision and you took an L, that sucks.
I don't know. I think the reason why I don't like the 10-8s is then it makes possible for a draw.
True, but I mean, how often do we see them fucking things?
Well, I don't know, but it makes it possible. That was my whole point. I wasn't trying to do analysis on how often they pop up.
All right.
Well, once in a blue moon, but no, I don't care. The right guy won the fight, so true, what the numbers right. say afterward, who gives a shit?
you know, there once in go. A blue moon yesterday. So very poignant. All right. So moving on to Worley Elves defeating Nordine Taleb by submission in the second round. Worley Elves, for me, what sticks out for me was his fight against Alan Joban, where Alan Joban was completely robbed in that fight. And this looked like, to me, a completely different Elves against Nordine Taleb. Taleb didn't look very good in this fight to me. He kind of looked confused a little bit. And then when it got down to the ground, it looks like he had nothing going on. Not exactly sure it was there, if Worley has gotten that much better or if Nordine was just having an off night. Brian, what did you think about that fight?
The only thing I want to let you know about was that Anderson Silva's strength and conditioning coach was in the corner of both Worley Elves and Rafael Cavalcante.
Strength and conditioning coach.
Yeah, the guy that a lot of people said was the reason for Anderson's positive.
Are you talking about the strength and conditioning coach that posted pictures of his 50-year-old self looking like Arnold Schwarzenegger?
That is the guy that was both in Worley Elves and Rafael Cavalcante's corners.
Well, you win some, you lose some, because Worley Elves did great. Rafael Cavalcante, not so much. So, you know, well, let's not get into the whole juicing subject until we get to Bigfoot Silva. But, Fred, did you get to watch this one? What'd you think?
Yeah, you know what, man? It kind of seemed like Homeboy gave up a little bit or something. Was that just me, old no. Nordine? It seemed like when he got in a bad spot, he did not, I don't know, try to fight out of that guillotine very much.
Right, at the end, you're right. That is exactly what it looked like. He kind of just was like, yeah, you know what? I'm tired. This sucks. Choke me out. And then he kind of looked up at his corner, and I don't know if you guys saw this. He looked over his corner, and he's like, nah, fuck.
No, right. Yeah. I mean, like, immediately when Homeboy let the choke go, he kind of looked like he was like, shit. Shouldn't have really done that, should I? like, he looked like he just kind of gave up. He was over it, man. So I think that he's a talented kid, though, but yeah, and over his head tonight.
All right, Brian, do you have a pick for either of these guys, or a next fight for either of these guys?
For Worley Elves or Nordine Taleb? Well, for one, I don't have either of these guys have the next fight, but Nordine Taleb is not a promising young guy. That guy's super old. Worley Elves, however, is 24 years old, so he's got a pretty high ceiling in front of him, but no, I don't have a fight for these guys.
Look at that. Brian just threw you right under the bus, Fred.
Hey, I didn't say that he was a fucking talented prospect. I just said he was a good kid. He's been a talented guy up until this point.
He's older than you, Fred.
Whatever. Fucking Dana White calls everybody a kid, too. I'm sure some of those fuckers are older than him. He's a talented kid.
All right, he's a talented kid. Let's move on to Durkin. Patrick Cummins defeats Rafael Cavalcante by elbows in the third round. And I will tell you, if nothing else, Patrick Cummins can take a hell of a beating. Good Lord. You guys see how he looked after that fight? Busted terrible. Nose, both eyes swelled shut. And what happened with Rafael? Looks like he just finally, at the end, just ran out of gas, let him dump him onto his back, and then beat him bloody with elbows. I thought it was a great fight. That's the kind of fight you love to see at light heavyweight. And Patrick Cummins just keeps on, well, coming. That was lame. But Brian, what do you think about that?
The fight basically went exactly how I thought it was going to go, except for I thought Patrick was going to just bump and grind his way to a decision. Instead, he bumped and grinded his way to a TKO in the third. Rafael Cavalcante, it just doesn't seem like he wants it that bad. Like you said, at the end, he just kind of gave up. Like, all right, Patrick, finish this thing up. Rafael did land like five shots. Every one of those five shots rocked Patrick Cummins. Maybe, hey, let's just keep on Patrick Cummins after we hurt him. Nah, let's just stop and let him take us down. Patrick looked pretty good, but I'm not putting much stock in it because I just think that Rafael Cavalcante doesn't want to do it anymore.
All right, Fred, do you agree with that assessment? Patrick Cummins was bumping and grinding, and in the end, Rafael just let him do it. That's
gross.
Brian, that was awful. But anyways, Fred, give me a better assessment of the fight than that.
In a gross little nutshell, that about sums it up. Man, I think that Rafael just got really tired. I don't know whether his heart's not in it, so to speak, anymore. But I mean, because he fucked Patrick up for them first two rounds, man. Like you said, everything he landed fucking had bad intentions. He was really busting him up. You could see Homeboy's face look like shit at the end. And you know, but I guess all that grinding wrestling took its toll, right? In the third round, Rafael had nothing, And I think Patrick knew it. He smelled blood. He got that takedown immediately and just started elbowing the shit out of him. So, you know, you got to hand it to Patrick Cummings, man. He took a beating. He never gassed. And it goes to show you that even if he has to wrestle fuck you for two rounds and let you beat the shit out of him, he's still got enough stank on him at the very end to hurt you badly. So, you know, color me impressed with old Durkin.
All right. So, yeah, like I said, I was impressed that he could keep on coming, especially after that damage, because he looked like he had been hit by a truck afterwards. Now, this segues us to the part of the card where I actually started caring. So for the fight fans that are listening, if it sounded a little vague and maybe like I was trying to rush through these fights, I just didn't really give a shit about this card right up until Damian Maia versus Neil Magny. Because I think it's well known, if you listen to Stan and Bang or watch Keyboard Warriors, that Fred and I don't really have any faith whatsoever in Neil Magny. Fred, you had just gained some faith in him when he took out one of your picks. And who is that?
He took out my boy Hung Yu Lim.
Hung Yu Lim, that's right. And that's when you started your phrases. You started fucking with Neil Magny. But I think I've told you on multiple shows and off air, as soon as he met somebody quality like Damian Maia, who, even if you don't like Brazilian jiu-jitsu players, you got to really kind of start respecting Damian Maia, because he made this undefeated, or this guy that was on such a long undefeated streak, really just look like shit. And it answered a lot of questions. That's what I had said a long time ago, that this fight here will answer a lot of questions. Brian, did you feel that way? Did this answer some questions for you about Neil Magny?
Yeah, it answered a lot of questions about Neil Magny. You know, Damian Maia came out extremely fast, which I was kind of shocked about. We're recording this show before we've seen any of the post-fight press conference or any of the judges' scorecards, really. But could you see a 10-8 first round for Damian Maia? That was as dominant of a round as you're ever going to see without getting a finish on Neil Magny. So right then, Neil Magny was number 13 in the division, just got steamrolled by Damian Maia, who a lot of people thought was extremely old. What's next for Damian Maia? Ahead of him, pretty much everyone's locked up in a fight except for Rory McDonald. Maybe we'll see him. Right below him is Dong Hyung Kim. Maybe we see a rematch there. Neil Magny, I'm guessing that he's not top 15.
No, I think this exposed Neil Magny for the little bit of a shitbird that he actually is. They have really, his team, his coaches have really protected him and given him fights to fluff up that record. And then when Damian Maia takes you apart, now I wouldn't have given the first round a 10-8. It was very dominant, but like I said, I'm not a big fan of the 10-8 round. But I mean, he just stopped him completely. All the momentum that he had, I mean, it's kind of like, well, down, you know, tumble back down the mountain for you, Neil. Fred, you got to be extremely happy about this, right?
Yeah, well, I tell you what, man. First off, I really do dig that Dong Hyung Kim rematch. I think that's cool. I'd really like to see that fight after this. And you know what I took away from this fight, man, especially with the whole Neil Magny and Hung Yu Lim? Other than Hung Yu Lim gassing, I do think that he's a bad motherfucker. And that win did impress me with Neil Magny. But I tell you what I took away from this fight, man, is that styles make fights. Neil Magny does not handle a very strong, aggressive grappler very well. Obviously, Damian Maia is one of the best in the division, but clearly he was able to just dominate the shit out of Neil Magny in that department. Had they stood up for a little while or the fight took a different route, it might have looked a little different, but styles make fights, man, and Damian Maia is a horrible matchup for somebody like Neil Magny. I don't think Neil Magny's very great, and I was never impressed with his major little fucking winning streak, but you know, I don't think that this should make people, whatever fans that Neil Magny had, they shouldn't really fret over this. Damian Maia is just a very, very high level grappler, and Neil Magny's, you know, not.
Yeah, no, a couple of things that I noticed. Damian Maia is actually getting more athletic in the later part of his career. If you guys remember his physique and the way that he would start fights earlier in his career, wasn't very cut, wasn't very muscular, and he was a very slow starter. It took him a while to finally trip you down and then, you know, tie up one of your limbs. It looks like he's taking his conditioning more seriously, and so we're starting to see a more aggressive, more assertive Damian Maia. So I think he's going to be a problem for anybody at welterweight. And another thing I wanted to point out, Brian, did you notice this? They're calling it a submission by rear naked choke. That was not a rear naked choke. He didn't have it under his chin. That was just simply a pain. That was a neck crank.
Yeah, I saw it as a neck crank too. I had a friend over that was a casual fan tonight. When it ended, I said, yeah, that was a submission due to a neck crank. I didn't see a rear neck choke.
Fred, you want to agree or disagree with us on that one?
Yeah, I mean, it was more of a neck crank. Yeah, I agree with you guys. I mean, you know, splitting hairs, but.
Well, yeah. No, not really, because one is a pain submission and one you've actually choked the person unconscious.
Well, true.
I'm always interested when I see a neck crank, because that's almost a little bit in my mind like, all right, this hurts a lot. I'm going to give up. And then you got those guys that it don't matter. You could break their jaw off with a neck crank and they're not going to tap. So maybe we saw a little bit of chink in the armor for old Neil Magny. If he gets pressured, if he's in a bad position, he's going to fold. So, all right, this is going to bring us to the main card, the pay-per-view, which I'm sure so many people paid $50 to watch one fight. We'll have to see how the gate was. I was very interested in this first fight, fellas, and I was telling you off air, Fred, but Brian, I think you and I even talked about it. I knew that Jessica Aguilar was in big trouble when she came over to the UFC, and the first person they gave her was Claudia Gadela. Claudia Gadela had a razor-thin split decision with Johanna Jędrzejczyk, and a lot of people say that she won that fight. And I knew that Jessica Aguilar langling over there at World Series of Fighting with the level of competition she has there, and it's been a long time since she fought, Fred and I had her on Stand and Bang, and she was like, the first person I want to fight is Johanna. And I was thinking, oh, really? That's
bad. No, you don't.
Maybe you should have somebody like, well, I don't know, we had Michelle Waterson, right? And she fought the shitbirdiest of the shitbirds. She got old Baganya. And that's a good way to come into the UFC, a nice, easy win. Just beat the crap out of somebody and get your confidence up. Well, they gave her Gadela, and the fight went about the way that I thought it would. Brian, were you surprised at all?
0% surprised in this one. I picked Claudia Gadela by decision on my UFC pick'em. That's exactly what happened. She did rock Jessica Aguilar a few times. But, yeah, zero surprises.
Fred?
Yeah, same, man. I really like Gadela too, man. I think not only is she fucking hot, but I love her fighting style, man. She's exciting. She's almost like a small little female Vanderlei, man. She's fucking aggressive. She's always looking for the finish, and she was busting the shit out of Aguilar. So, what's next for Aguilar, though? She came in with a lot of hype, and now it's kind of cool because we're probably going to get to see a rematch with Gadela and Johanna, which is tight because that'll be an extremely good fight. But like, was Aguilar a major bust for you guys? Like, she had a lot of hype coming into this. She was, you know, supposedly, like you said, we had her on Stand and Bang, she was talking a lot of jive talk like she was the uncrowned queen, and you know, not so much.
Well, I'll tell you what, I do have picks for both of these. Jessica Aguilar, give her somebody like Beck Rawlings. Do you know
Jesus
what I mean?
That's Christ. Exactly what I was thinking.
Beck Rawlings, really? That's yeah. Where Christ, her skill guys. Level is. Yeah, that's where her skill level is. Jessica Aguilar has that number one straw weight. That is so inflated and such bullshit. I'm not exactly sure how she still is ranked that, but after this fight now, she'll shuffle down the deck. I'm guessing she's around number 15, somewhere around there. And for Claudia Gadela, if they don't give her the rematch, Paige VanZant.
Well, she's already booked, though, ain't she? Van Zant's got somebody. They just fucking announced that shit tonight.
I'm sure, but my guess is that Paige is going to win that fight. That's where I think that she needs to go next. I can't think of anybody else in the division that makes any sense. Brian, who do you have for Claudia next?
Well, what's crazy for Paige Van Zant is I saw that her next fight is against a girl. Her first name is Alex. I can't think of her last name. But
Davis?
No, not Alexis Davis.
Or no, Chambers. It's the little small broad.
Yeah, Alexis Chambers. Yeah, so she is almost as large a favorite as Ronda Rousey in that fight. So right. It's Paige Van Zant. Sure, she's been impressive, but does she deserve Ronda Rousey numbers? She absolutely does not. So, you know, maybe I'm going to take a shot on the dog later on in that. But so Jessica Aguilar, yeah, I do think Beck Rawlings. I'm super excited to see Claudia Gadela versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Joanna Jędrzejczyk is quickly becoming one of the most exciting fighters in the UFC. And Claudia Gadela maybe beat her in a lot of people's eyes. So I'm extremely excited to see that. Fred, you're saying that Claudia is extremely good looking. Well, she's got a pretty face, but kind of a dude body.
Boy, just splitting hairs, fuck. She's fucking got a six-pack of shit. She's yes. Fucking sexy,
she's
shit.
Like three times as ripped as I am.
Well, it could be worse, believe me. Believe me, Jack, it could be way worse.
All right.
Yeah, let's
not
let's
rope it in. This isn't recap fair after enough, dark, guys. If we can't give her Paige Van Zant, if we don't want her to wait to win against Alex What's-Her-Head, who else can we give her to get a quick turnaround and get her to the Johanna fight, because they're not going to give her the rematch after this fight.
Who, Gedalia?
Yeah.
I think they absolutely will. Who the fuck's going to fight Johanna if Gedalia ain't next?
I'm sure they already have somebody lined up. I mean,
here's the top women's strawweight. We got JJ, Claudia, Carla, Rose Namajunas, Jessica Pene. She's already whooped Carla's ass. Now, she's already whooped Jessica Pena's
ass. When's the last
ass.
Time we saw Rose? Rose had to pull out of a fight, right?
She got beat by Carla Esparza.
That was her first fight.
Right.
Wasn't she supposed to fight subsequent to that and had to pull out?
You're probably
yeah,
right.
Yeah, she was, but did she fight?
It's either that or her opponent pulled out. So there you go. Either Paige VanZant wins and then Gedalia gets the winner of that fight, or if Rose is ready to go, give her Rose, and then after Rose, the title fight. So that moves us to the heavyweight division. Antonio Bigfoot Silva defeated Soa Pelele by a pretty decisive TKO punches in the second round, 41 seconds. Now, Antonio Silva, let's think. He ran out to the cage where last time he looked like dead man walking. And every time his camera was or his back was to the camera, I saw back knee. So we seen a guy who could barely walk last fight run to the cage. We saw a guy that got demolished by Frank Mir, right? In his last fight.
Destroyed.
It was Frank Mir, right? That just destroyed him?
Yeah.
Okay, and then he took out Soa Pelele in destructive fashion. Soa Pelele, 19 of his 22 wins by knockout. I'm thinking that there was a little bit of juice in his Wheaties. What do you think, Brian?
Yeah, I said on the podcast that this dude needs TRT in order to win, and he won. So, yeah, I'd say that he was on something. He probably had the same strength and conditioning coach that Rafael Cavalcante had, but I picked Soa Pelele via ground and pound TKO. I thought he was going to finish in the first round at the end there. I really thought the finish was coming at any time. I was extremely surprised that Antonio Bigfoot Silva got the finish that he did. So yeah, something's weird got to be going on with that.
I don't know, Fred. It looked like to me that Soa just kind of gave up at 41 seconds of the second round. He's just like, okay, keep me bent over. Keep them knees coming till I can just collapse down.
Yeah, I mean, I've never been overtly impressed with Soa, to be honest with you. Obviously, he's a big fucking dude, and if he gets on top of you, he's got some nasty ground and pound. But other than that, he's not all that fantastic, to be completely honest with you. And for as easy it is to make jokes about silly-ass Bigfoot Antonio Silva, he is actually a pretty good fighter. I mean, it's the same dude that pounded out Fedor, you know what I'm saying? The dude has had a few impressive wins. Now, he did look a little weird tonight, man. He sprinted down to the cage like, and that's a big fucking dude. You know, you see BJ Penn do shit like that, and a few other cats do that shit. They sprint to the cage. Frankie Edgar usually sprints to the cage. But Antonio Silva's like a big dumb giant just fucking sprinting towards the cage. You just see the crowd, like all the security dudes bolting out of the way, and then he runs down and looks at the guy, the dude letting him into the octagon, and looks like confused and shit. So he definitely looked a little weird on his run out and shit, but I mean, whatever, man. I'm not going to speculate on whether the dude, they was in Brazil, so who the fuck knows what's going on. It was a slightly impressive performance against somebody that I think was overrated. I guess it basically sums up my feelings on the fight.
All right. His Rice Krispies were all full of TRT. I'm not going to speculate. I'm pretty sure about it. Now, him sprinting down, though, there's a couple of things. Sprinting down was hilarious because did you see the look on the security guys' faces when he left him in the dust? They're all like, oh, fuck, pretty sure we're supposed to be protecting this guy. He didn't give us any warning. And then the dude who rubs him down or checks him before they get into the cage, he's like, Jesus Christ, is he going to stop?
looks at him like, what do you want, punk? Like, oh, I'm just here to check you out, big man. Like, you know what you're here to do, right?
I'm just here to see if you're all full of Vaseline and TRT.
Jesus. Yeah,
but no, yeah, sure. That was a great walkout. Now, what you said is that he was one of the first guys to smash out Fedor. Well, during the event, Brian, did you notice that Dan Henderson tweeted out, "Well, Fedor signed with Bellator anyways"?
I completely missed that. This is the first I'm hearing of it.
All right. Well, we're breaking news then, Fred. I'm pretty sure you're the one who showed me that, weren't you?
Yeah. I think Eddie had sent me that, or he had sent us that on a DM or something, that Hendo tweeted that. And then I took that tweet and tweeted it back out like, hey, tell us how you know that shit. And I threw Dana White. I tagged him in the tweet. Obviously, none of them pricks responded. But yeah, I mean, it was pretty much as simple as that. Hendo just tweeted that Fedor signed with Bellator.
Dana probably blocked you from that, right?
No, I don't think he did. I like Dana. He's got, he don't give a fuck about shit like that. I mean, shit, right. I wasn't talking shit. I was just curious. Like, I mean, yo, a dude in your company's, I mean, I didn't ask. Hendo tweeted that shit out to the world. So fuck it. You know, did nobody make him tweet that shit?
You might want to check if you're blocked, you goof, sitting on your couch with your 1,300 followers, you ugly fuck.
Hey, hey, I ain't talking shit. I asked a question. Did he sign with Bellator or not?
Yeah, no, but we have the new improved Dana White, who is just ripping people new buttholes for everything they say to him. How are you doing, Mr. President? Hey, fuck you, goofball.
He's doing that, man. That's why I asked the question. Dana White's on a rampage lately on the social media.
Yeah, he just hates everybody. All right, Brian, we're in the main card right now. Do you have a next for Antonio Silva or Soa?
Yeah, Soa, he's out of the top 15, so I don't have a fight for him. But Antonio Bigfoot Silva should fight the winner of the next fight that we're going to talk about, the skyscraper, Stefan Struve.
Okay, so that does segue us over to another heavyweight fight, a one that I don't know. I guess I'm going to be a little bit long-winded about this. Antonio Rodrigo Nogueira, 40 years old, 39, 40 years old, looks like he is 140 years old, has absorbed more damage than, I don't know, cabbage from back in the day in the UFC. This guy has taken legendary beatings. He's missing a rib, I believe, from a surgery. That's why he has that weird pucker in his back. He's had his arm snapped by Frank Mir. He's been knocked out by Frank Mir. He has been just in atrocious wars for years and years. And every time I see him in the cage, I'm like, please, God, don't let him fight anymore. And then he's up against Stefan Struve, who has a 90-inch reach advantage over everybody, but can't seem to figure out that he's able to extend his arms or move laterally. I've never seen a guy striking who he strikes and then steps back, straight back, strikes and steps back, strikes and steps back. And then he's like, oh, I'm up against the cage. Now I guess I'm fucked. Didn't like that fight at all. Didn't like the outcome of the fight. I mean, it was obvious that Nogueira was getting tagged. But I just don't know about Stefan Struve. I'm not sure if he doesn't want to give her balls because of the heart issue or if he just really is that bad. I thought when he went to the Black Zillions, we would see a rejuvenated Stefan Struve, but I'm just not buying it. Fred?
I tell you what, man. You know who Stefan Struve should go hang out with is a cat that we just had on Stand and Bang is John Wayne Parr. I think if Stefan Struve could develop a nice teep, he's a fucking huge man. It'd be like the Klitschko jab, you know what I'm saying, in MMA. If he could just develop a nice, strong fucking teep, he could dominate with that shit. Yeah, but he never uses his reach to his full potential ever. For being a Dutch striker and being fucking 10 feet tall, you'd think the guy would just be able to, like, semi-shilt folks, you know what I'm saying? And he just kind of doesn't. Maybe it's because he's kind of bony or something. I don't know what the deal is with Stefan Struve, but I feel you. Big Nog is just fucking way past his expiration date. And I think at this point, you know, if you're a hardcore MMA head, you know, Big Nog's one of those legendary characters that everybody loves. And I know it's easy to say that he just wants to compete because he's a fucking warrior. He don't need the money. I'm sure he could just, you know, retire down to Brazil and be like a politician or some shit down there. He's beloved. But he loves to compete, man. But I think us as fans don't want to see him lose to guys like fucking Stefan Struve no more. So, you know, it's an awkward spot for fuckers like us to tell somebody like Minotauro that you don't want to see him fight no more. But I think most people are kind of in that boat where we don't really want to see him fight no more.
I mean, for you, do you not want to see him fight anymore because he's not competitive? Or because you're honestly worried about his health?
A little bit of both. He's not going to win the belt no more for sure. He was competitive in that fight tonight. I mean, it wasn't like he just got fucking starched in the first round, but you know, he did, you know, obviously lost. So what's your line, Aaron? To what fucking end? You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing here? I know he loves to compete, but he's, you know, fuck, man. He just took an L in Brazil. That's almost impossible to do. Fuck.
Yeah, and it was a unanimous decision, 30-27 across the board. Brian, what did you see out of that fight?
Yeah, I don't ever want to see Antonio Big Nog Nogueira fight ever again. Stefan Struve, Fred, I thought that he used his reach pretty decent in this fight. He said prior to this fight that he's the best use of the reach in the heavyweight division. I laughed my ass off at that statement, but tonight he used it pretty decent. He did throw a teep a few times. Joe Rogan called it something else, but that's basically what it was.
Doesn't he call it a push kick?
He called it something power push kick. Like, dude, that's a fucking teep, bro.
Oh boy, a power push kick. Okay.
Yeah, and Big Nog got rocked a whole bunch of times. I don't want to watch him fight anymore because the UFC is the best fighters in the world, right? These guys are always striving for the belt. Each and every fight is to get them closer to the belt. Even if Antonio Big Nog Nogueira would have won this fight, to me, he's no closer to the belt, and a win would have told him that he could possibly get the belt. And bro, you can't get the belt. I don't want to see you take any more damage. You've been in wars. You're a legend. Same thing with Anderson Silva. I don't think that Anderson Silva is going to get the belt back ever again. So bro, just go out while you're not so far down. Same thing with a couple of guys on the fight that we're going to talk about pretty soon, but you get to a point, I don't want to see you fight anymore. I appreciate what you've done for the sport, but please hang it up.
Well, you know, that's a real good way to look at it, because you look at the top of the heavyweight division, and you have Cain Velasquez, you have Stipe Miocic, arguably Andrei Arlovsky and Frank Mir somehow are still up there, and Verdum, he doesn't have a chance in hell with any of these men. I mean, already with Frank, he's lost twice, so we know definitely not. Arlovsky, too fast, too athletic, I think, at this point, and he gets beat badly. Kane, same thing, his cardio for days. And now it just seems like it's one of those things where, like what Fred said, he does it because he loves to compete. Well, compete at something else. Take up checkers.
Be a coach like Dwayne Bang Ludwig. You could be one of the best coaches in the sport. Just do that.
Exactly. But just, yeah, I just don't want to see him take any more punishment. And so, Brian, you want to see Bigfoot Silva versus Skyscraper Stefan Struve for the next fight.
It makes sense time-wise. These guys both fought tonight, and I think they're next to each other on the rankings. Why not?
Okay.
I dig that.
I can agree with that fight, and you know that'll answer questions for both guys. All right, now, are we going to talk about the tough Brazil winners at all?
I
know where you're going to go with this. I don't care about Vieira or Lopez. I don't care about Franco or Bruno. What I do care about is that the first one between Vieira and Lopez was like a Brazilian Bonner versus Griffin. That fight was awesome. They went like hell. I don't think there was a loser in that fight. It was fantastic, but I just don't care about Brazilian tough because we're never going to see these guys unless we have a Brazilian card. Then I want to say go to hell, both Franca and Bruno. That fight could have crashed this card. It went from where it was like, yeah, this is pretty good, I'm glad I got the pay-per-view, to just a screeching, snoozing halt. Fred?
Yeah, you pretty much nailed it, man. The only thing I would add is I don't think the Vieira fight and Lopez fight was that great. It was a good fight. I thought that second round, you know, obviously the first round was a fucking hell of a round, so they had to catch their breath a little bit. But yeah, the Bruno and Franca fight at that fucking fight sucked, man, and really bad placement kind of on the card. And I know it's easy to bitch about shit like this though, because shit like this is, you know, hindsight's 20/20. You never know what's going to happen, but as the card played out, that it did, you know, looking back on it now, it was definitely bad placement because it really sucked the air out of the place leading into the co-main event.
Yeah, Brian, can you agree with this? Would we do the tough Brazil winners, stuff like that? That should be what headlines the preliminary card. It shouldn't make it to the main card at all.
Yeah, absolutely. The Vieira versus Lopez fight, I mean, it was kind of entertaining, but both of these guys kind of just threw technique and inhibitions to the wind. If they were to fight a guy that was a technical striker, they're going down. So, yeah, early prelims on a Brazil card, sure, throw them at that, but it was a exciting fight, but not a very technical fight.
Well, no, I agree with that. It wasn't very technical, but I did say Bonner versus Griffin. Did you guys write that one down as the most technical fight in the history of Rock and Sock'em Robots? No, of course not. All right, well, congratulations to the two guys that won Tough Brazil. We'll see you the next time that the UFC comes to Brazil. Now, that brings us to light heavyweight, and this is a rematch from 10 years ago in Pride, which this really was a great barn burner of a fight back in Pride. Of course, we're talking about Shogun Hua, Mauricio Hua, versus Little Nog, Antonio Little Nog Nogueira. And in the original fight, back and forth, Nogueira dinged Hua. Hua came back to win by referee's decision, unanimous referee's decision, and the fight played out a lot like that 10 years later. In the first round, just as Joe Rogan was polishing Mauricio Hua's dick about how he looked so rejuvenated and how he looked younger and how he looked stronger and his teeth were so white, Antonio Little Nog Nogueira just about knocked him right the fuck out. And I love it when Joe's going on and on about his favorite fighter in the cage, and then it's just like, whoops, oh, look at there. Mauricio was all over on ice skates, looking like he was going to win. I think that if Nogueira could have been just a little bit more accurate with his punches, we might have seen a first round TKO there. And then, of course, Hua came back to win on the judges' scorecard. He must have taken the second, the third in their eyes. Brian, did you agree with the judges' decision?
Yeah, I agreed with the decision. I thought that Antonio was going to get that finish in the first. I was kind of surprised that Mauricio Shogun Hua decided to start wrestling later on in the fight. That was.
Did you call him Shogun?
Yeah, Shogun. That's how the Brazilians say Shogun.
I thought you were just being a dick.
Nah, Shogun. That's how the Brazilians say it, the Portuguese. But yeah, I was surprised that he went for some wrestling later on in the fight. I was kind of surprised that the fight went as long as it did. He went to a decision. I thought these guys are old. Their chins are gone. One guy drops the other. Just call it over. It's done. So I thought that Antonio was going to finish that thing in the first round. Let's move on to the main event of the evening that's going to take a super long time. But yeah, the right fighter won that one.
Okay. Now, you say that both fighters are old. You do realize that Shogun Hua somehow is only 33 years old.
Yeah, but he's like 85 in fight years, so it bounces out.
I couldn't believe it when they announced the tail of the tape, or whatever you want to call it. It was like, Shogun Hua, 33 years old. It's like, I've been watching him fight for 33 years.
Yeah.
How can he only be 33 years old? Fred, what did you think about the affair?
I thought it was a lot better than I thought that it was going to be going into it, actually, man. I thought, you know, fuck 10 years later, I thought this shit was going to be, you know, nothing like the first fight was, you know what I mean? Nothing like the first fight actually was. And it was pretty good, man. It was a hell of a fight. It actually played out a lot like the first one. But actually, Brian, I kind of disagree. I think that Little Nog won, man. I think it was a close fight, and maybe it was just because of how badly he had him hurt in the first round. I tend to really side with that shit. If somebody gets close to getting a finish, and then the other person never really comes that close to finishing the fight, but maybe slightly ekes by, I always tend to kind of fucking side with the person who came close to getting that finish. I kind of felt like he won. It wasn't no robbery or no shit like that. But, yeah, I mean, all in all, it was a good fight. A lot better than I expected it to be. I guess, you know, Little Nog might have lost, but I thought he looked pretty fucking good in the fight, all things considered.
I guess I'm kind of upset that, you know, Little Nog almost had the finish in the first round. Like, go harder for the finish at the start of the second round. Instead, he comes out like it's just another new fight. Here we go, lottie dottie. Dude, go for the kill. Second one of round number two. So I'm a little upset about that, but no, I really think that Hua won the fight.
Okay, well, if we were judges, it would be a split decision for Little Nog, because I had Little Nog winning the fight too.
Oh, shit.
I just didn't think Hua did enough in the third. He was doing that body kick. But
the body kick was impressive.
Very impressive. But Nogueira was pressing the action. He was landing good combinations, and he was stuffing every single takedown. And I, you know, just like, okay, if you're going to score takedowns, shouldn't you score stuffing a takedown?
I mean, then you'd have to score like doing a parry of a punch. I mean, maybe.
Oh, let's not be ridiculous.
Split hairs. All right. We won't split hairs.
Oh, okay. No, I just think that if a guy keeps trying to take you down, he obviously doesn't want to engage in the striking game. And if you keep sloughing him off, like, you know, like it's no big deal. I think for me, you know, maybe not in the overall scheme of things, but for me, that's why I gave him the third round. I just thought he was pressing the action a little bit harder. Who was looking to take him down couldn't do it. So I gave, you know, razor thin, just like.
Right.
I don't think it was.
No biggie.
Yeah, I don't think it was a robbery. I wasn't like, no, damn it, and, you know, had some moral outrage on Twitter or anything like that. It just, I would have liked to see him split it, you know what I mean? Give little Nog a little pat on the back after getting murdered by Anthony Johnson. You know, I thought he kind of deserved that. So, all right, let's put that one to bed. And we're actually going to talk about this fight longer than it took. The Women's Bantamweight Championship. Ronda Rousey defeats Betch Kohea. No way. in 34 seconds by knockout. Who didn't see this coming? Betch Kohea, one of the biggest shitbirds in the division. So far, she's beaten Julie Kedzie, Shayna Baszler, and Jessamyn Duke, and somehow gets a title fight from that. The only person who's done better than that would be Conor McGregor. But at least Conor McGregor's just shut your mouth. At least Conor McGregor's for real. Do you know what I mean? He talked himself up. He's beat everybody's ass. You got Betch Kohea. All of a sudden, she gets this artificial title shot, and man, did she look like shit. But what I did think was funny is both Shayna Baszler and Jessamyn Duke, right after the fight, both tweeted out stuff like, fuck you, cunt. You really deserve that.
Oh, no. That's great.
Oh, seriously. They were vicious. Talk about family. Ha ha. Now it's time for our rematch. And it's like, whoa, whoa.
So the leader of the pack came and saved their asses for them?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, settle down, shitbirds. Mama Bear saved you. But she'd probably still whip your ass a second time because you guys suck. So, I was actually impressed that Ronda didn't immediately shit whip her down, because you saw she had two opportunities to hip toss her, and it took her a second to think about it and not do it. She just kind of tripped up her legs and pushed her down, and her striking is on point. I am really thinking that the third Miesha Tate fight ends up with Miesha Tate getting knocked out in the first or second round. Brian, were you impressed with the more on point striking from Ronda, and were you as surprised at all at the ease in which she destroyed Betch Kohea?
Shit. You know, I picked it by submission, as Ronda Rousey usually does. For some weird reason, I have credentials to listen into the UFC's conference calls, so I listened into the conference call between Ronda Rousey and Betch Kohea. There had been a lot of headlines saying that Ronda Rousey was going to toy with her food or whatever. She was going to make Betch Kohea really feel this fight. And, you know, it lasted like twice as long as her last fight, so she really did make her feel it in this one. Ronda Rousey did almost exactly what I thought she was going to do. Betch Kohea, like you mentioned, she went to a decision against Jessamyn Duke. And when she fought Jessamyn Duke, that lady, judo threw her to the ground. So if Ronda Rousey would have wanted to, probably pretty easy. She let Betcha roll on the ground for a second before jumping in to hit her with a few punches. It was fun to watch. People on the Twitter are going to compare it to Mike Tyson, you know, because you want to watch to see how quickly he's going to end the fight. A lot of people are going to say, well, Mike Tyson was a lot smaller than his opponents. Well, I'm just talking about in the area of how soon the fight is going to end. I put units on this thing being less than 1.5 rounds. Well, that ended really fast. Actually, this fight ending in less than 1 minute was plus 220 or something like that. So if you would have put some money on that, it would have cashed. Ronda Rousey, the real deal. I don't care how fast she beats a lady, I'm going to tune in each and every time and put the house on that shit.
Yeah, well, definitely. Tonight, I think in the last few performances, and Fred, I know you absolutely agree with this, and you know what? I think I finally have to acquiesce and agree with you. There's nothing like Ronda Rousey. She is the most dominant athlete in the UFC.
Yeah, she's something else, man. She is something else the way she does her thing. I mean, you could always talk shit about her opposition and them not being on that level, or Betch not deserving the fight or what have you, but she just steamrolls the competition unlike any other champion in damn near any sport we've ever seen. She's super impressive. I will say this, though. I you know, man, I love all the theatrics. You know that, Aaron. I get into that shit, man. I like all that shit. It builds me up for the fight. Something about Betch Kohea rubs me the wrong way.
Is it that she's disgusting?
Yeah, well, you know, I was going to say I think I want to nickname her Horseface because I think it's fitting. But, you know, yeah, it's just all the faces she was making and all the real tough guy fucking innuendo and, you know, I don't know. It was just like sweet, sweet victory seeing her get her funny ass knocked out after all the funny faces and all the tough guy, you know, freaking out and all the big shit she did. You know, she's not a very great fighter. She probably should have kept her mouth shut and been a bit more humble, because, you know, what the fuck? She went out there and got straight knocked the fuck out. Like, you know, obviously Ronda Rousey would have had a clear advantage with the grappling, and surely she could have armbarred her. But it does send a bit of, you know, a bit of a message, her coming out and knocking her out like that, and not even getting kind of a cheap knockout like she got, Betch had gotten against, what was the shit bird? Shayna Baszler,
yeah,
where she kind of finished her on the cage, and Shayna's still standing up when they stop the fight. I can't stand that shit. Ronda, that's how you finish a fight. You hit a bitch and she fucking face plants. That's how you know the fight's fucking over. Like, she's not still back on the cage. Ronda straight starched her. It almost couldn't have went more impressively. She knocked her out in like the first 30 seconds. It's insane.
Yep. Now, I do agree with you on all the mean mugging. She took it too far. That was almost an act by the end. Well, it was not almost. That was an act. All that bug eye stuff and the mean mugging and all the body language that she was sending over to Ronda. It was fucking sickening. But you know what? I'm going to flip the coin on people who complain about Ronda Rousey's competition. These are the best women in the world. They're in the UFC. Ronda is just light years ahead of everybody else. She makes her competition look shitty. Her competition isn't shitty. They're the best female fighters on earth. She is just that much better, which is freaky. So, Brian, that's what I want to, well, both you, Fred and Brian, I want to ask you guys both, because this is my opinion. I say Ronda fights three more times in the UFC, beats the shit out of three more people, moves up to 145, beats the shit out of Cyborg, and then just says sayonara, 16-0. What do you think, Brian? What's next for Ronda Rousey besides Tate? What do you see her career progressing at?
First, I want to talk about the Betch Kohea talking smack leading up to the fight thing. She said something about suicide, and I was upset about that. You don't fuck around with a mental illness or something like that. So I was upset with Betch for that reason. I was glad that Ronda finished that thing. For what's next for Ronda Rousey, dude? I've always wanted to see the top fighter in whatever division just ride off into the sunset on their high horse. George St. Pierre kind of did it. I thought he lost to Johnny Hendricks before he retired, but I want Rowdy Ronda Rousey to do that same exact thing, except for I don't think that she's ever going to fight Cyborg Santos. I don't think that Cyborg can get down to 135, and that's where I want her to fight Ronda at. If you can't come to the champion, you don't deserve to fight her, to be honest. So if I'm the champion, I'm not going to move up 10 pounds to fight this other lady. So I want her to fight Miesha Tate. That's going to be a lot of fun. Maybe Miesha Tate can make it to the fourth round this time. There'll probably be a prop bet on that, of course. And then whoever next, and then retire on top. Just go make movies, be a legend, whatever. Ronda, we already love you. So just peace out on top.
See, I think she should fight Cyborg to shut everybody up on the Twitter. You call it the Twitter, which I find awesome. People were like, if she fights reckless like that against Cyborg, she'll get knocked out. Shut up. That wasn't reckless. That was laser precision. I don't know what reckless you were seeing. Justino throws her punches from left and right field like an animal. She has absolutely no style. She has no grace in her style. It is just wild donkey punches from left and right field. And she's fighting shitbirds over in Invicta. I say, yeah, Ronda, gain the 10 pounds, beat her to death, and then shut everybody's mouth, and then ride off in the sunset. Fred, do we have to have that fight or no?
Okay, well, let me say a couple things here. A, fuck that Miesha Tate fight. You guys seem to be on board with it. I'm not fight.
It doesn't matter if we're on board, man. It's locked in. That's what's happening. So
fair enough, but I'm not feeling that fight at all. I want Miesha Tate to fight fucking Holly Holm. I would like to see Holly Holm win that fight, and then we get a competitive new opponent for Ronda. I'll put it to you like this, though. Does she need to fight Cyborg? Yes. In order to really fucking beating Cyborg would definitely be the feather in the cap, if, in fact, Cyborg can stay active and keep what little, you know, hype she has going, because, quite frankly, she's fighting in a division that doesn't really exist. You know what I'm saying? So, but if she, I'll put it to you like this, though, if Ronda can do that, like what you said originally, if she can win three more fights, hypothetically, in the UFC and then fight Cyborg at a catchweight or something, just all hypothetically, and beat her, I will tell you this, that will be the most impressive athletic, fucking legacy ever, in my fucking opinion. I mean, Floyd Mayweather's pretty impressive, but you got to admit, out of his fucking wins, 60% of them are shitbirds, and he didn't fucking ain't finished nobody in the month of Sundays. Hypothetically, if she finishes the next three girls in the first round and then finished Cyborg, that would be the most impressive shit I've ever seen before, ever.
Yeah, starch Tate, starch Holm, vacate the title, starch Cyborg right off into the sunset. Because I said three, but I can't think of three girls that she needs to starch in the division because she's already killed everybody else. So get the Tate fight out of the way and actually knock her out this time. Show everybody that Holly Holm isn't the next great white hope. Gain 10 pounds after you vacate the title. Put Cyborg in the hospital. Give everybody the finger and star in the Expendable 17.
Bravo. I mean, like I said, I think if she actually can do that, that literally makes her the fucking goat.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Doesn't matter if you're male or female. She right. is 1,000% dominant. Nobody is in her class whatsoever. And so that wraps up UFC 190. Guys, give us your grade. Brian, start with you. Grade for the overall card.
I decided that after the co-main event, I was giving this thing a C+ as a whole. The main event was exactly what I thought it was going to be, which was an A+, but just because we're watching Ronda Rousey perform. So the rest of the card, you can't grade this whole card on 34 seconds. So the rest of the card, I'm giving a C+. The tough fights really slowed down the pace of this one. I've said it a couple times. I had a casual fan over here. He got distracted during those two fights because one, he asked me who they were and I didn't know because I haven't watched Tough in a while. And two, you know, the first fight was Stephen Bonner, Forrest Griffin fun, but it just wasn't that fun on the high level of mixed martial arts that we're used to. C+. The performance of the nights, I'm going to give to Ronda Rousey. Fight of the night, maybe give it to Durkin versus Cavalcante. And then the last performance of the night, put the guys that finished, put them in a hat, shuffle it, give it to one of them.
Okay. Fred, grade for the card?
I'll tell you what. I'm just going to go off the fucking charts here. I'm going to be a prisoner of the moment. All this talking about Ronda being the fucking goats got me all fired up. A+, Jack. You know what? Brian said it earlier, man. Ronda Rousey's one of the few people in MMA, maybe the only one that has that Mike Tyson effect, or maybe Conor too. It doesn't matter who the fuck you put in there with Ronda Rousey. She's going to sell shit out, man, and she just puts on these amazing performances that are, you know, Joe Rogan might have been going a bit overboard with her, but some of that's true, man. This is once-in-a-lifetime type shit, man. She is fucking amazing. So, fuck anything that she's on like this. It's an A+ card, man. Fuck it.
Yeah,
and she's the performance of the night, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, she wins all the cards, dog. She takes all that shit. The Durkin fight, though, I can go with that being fight of the night. That was a tight fight.
All right. I can agree with fight of the night and performance of the night. I did think that Joe Rogan was going to mist up when he was kissing Ronda's ass. Jesus, that was almost embarrassing. But I'm not going to go ridiculous on the grade overall on the card. The card was a B-, a low B-, like as low as you can get without being C+, in my opinion. But Ronda did keep it fun, and there was a few fun fights in there. So for all you people on the Twitter who bitched so much about 190, go fuck yourself. It was a pretty good card. So we also had World Series of Fighting number, who cares? It was Jake Shields versus Paul Harris, and Jake Shields lost. I had Jake Shields winning that fight. I thought he would defend the leg lock. I thought somehow or another he would pull out one of his weird, I can't believe Jake Shields won again victories and be the champion of World Series of Fighting, which means, I don't know, nothing. But no, Paul Harris got him in a Kimura and then wouldn't let it go. What a surprise. And then there was outrage on Twitter for about 4 seconds because Ronda Rousey won it about the same time. So people are like, oh, no, Paul Harris. Wait, what happened now in the UFC? Because nobody gives a shit about World Series of Fighting. Brian, did you get to see video of the extended Kimura?
No, I haven't seen video of the World Series of Fighting yet. One thing I want to touch on is why the hell did World Series of Fighting put their card at the same time as a Ronda Rousey fight? I think that's extremely stupid. But I did see the Twitter outrage that Husamar Paul Harris won via submission and held on for too long. So that was not a surprise either. I picked Husamar Paul Harris to win that fight via submission inside of the distance. I put 2 units on Husamar to win, and I put 2 units on Husamar to finish inside the distance. So both of those cashed. I had no idea how that was plus money, but so I win.
Yeah, there's no surprises there. Paul Harris won by submission, duh. And he held the submission longer than he was supposed to. Yeah, that's why he's not in the UFC anymore. This guy does that. That's his thing. And as long as they keep sanctioning his fights, hey, guess what? He's going to keep on doing it. You agree with that, Fred?
You know what, man? I got to say, I can't front. I fucking love this crazy cocksucker. I mean, this fucking guy is fucking... He is something else, isn't he? A, was this the first round that he did it?
The third round. I can't believe third it made round. It this far, but it was the third round.
Okay, that is interesting. Yeah, I'm kind of curious. I want to watch this fight, man. I'm kind of curious how the fight went. But the fucker submits everybody. He eats fucking BJJ black belts for breakfast, dog. But the cute cocksucker just can't keep his shit together. Every fight, he does something weird. It's a very odd thing with Usmir, man. I really wish the guy didn't have a weird thing happen in every one of his fights, because he seems like a pretty impressive talent. Like, if you start rolling around with this dude, he is going to submit you and hurt you badly, which ordinarily I appreciate very much. But the fucking guy, you know, you can't hold on to holds too long, man. That can hurt guys very badly. But it's a weird thing. Like, obviously the dude keeps doing it. What do you do with him? I mean, you got everybody out there now going, well, ban him for life. I mean, I suppose we could do that, but there would be some fans that would be disappointed with that, wouldn't they? I mean, he's a fucking legit talent. The guy is steamrolling fucking, you know, the best of the best. What the fuck? Damn near.
Yeah, he's steamrolling guys in World Series of Fighting. We got to keep him going because World Series of Fighting. Who
Jake
cares?
Shields is legit. Jake Shields has a legit win over Damian Maia, who just had an impressive performance in the UFC tonight. Like, Usmir could totally compete, man. He's just a fucking nut.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what it is. He's a nut job. And for all of his trouble, Jake Shields punched him after the bell. That was the best part of it for me. He's like, ow, you're hurting me. He's like, gives him a little punch after the fight was stopped.
Oh, that's cute.
Brian, you did hear about that too, right?
Yeah, I heard that he punched him after it, but I haven't seen anything else about it.
Okay, guys, is there anything left to talk about?
Let's touch on Dana White just said that Vitor Belfort is going to face Dan Henderson next. What do you guys think about that?
Jesus Christ, does somebody got a noose? That's what I think about that. What the fuck is going on? Misha Tate and Ronda, fucking Vitor and Dan Henderson. Who gives a fuck about that fight? Is it just me that doesn't care?
I just don't see the point in that fight.
I mean, it's pride never die type of stuff. And I said about it earlier that I want to see the best of the best fight each other. Neither of those guys are ever going to sniff a belt. So, yeah, I don't care either.
They're not.
I just don't care to see that rematch, man. Who fucking cares?
Yeah. All right. I don't know what's going on with Joe Silva. I'm not exactly sure what's going on with the UFC, but I am sure that it's 3:00 in the morning and I'm ready to put this to bed. So thank you everybody for listening. This has been the Flying Squad Recap with Flying Brian.
That's me, Jack. Follow me on Flying MMA on the Twitter.
Fred Kirby.
Yeah. And that is me, Jack. Follow me at Kirby_MMA.
Yeah, and Aaron Robbins, you can follow my show, Stand and Bang Radio, on the Twitter. And you can also follow the show at what? Hashtag Flying Squad, is that right?
That's right.
All right, so thank you everybody for tuning in. And come the next big card, the three of us will get together and break it down.
Namaste.